safely through another week. Yes, we are here. This past week, brethren, I was going on the internet and I punched in the word health. And up came health, and then I put in stress. And boy, did it come up. Some of what I got here is what I got off the internet, and it says recent medical research suggests that over 70% of illness is stress related. Wow, 70% of illness is stress related. It went on to say the stress response of the body is meant to protect and support us. To maintain stability, the body is constantly adjusting to its surroundings. So when you're going through a lot of stress and new surroundings, I guess your body just lets you know real quick. When a physical or mental event threatens the equilibrium, we react to it. This process is often referred to as the fight or flight response. Meaning when a problem comes in and we're faced with a problem, we can either fight it, we can either confront it, or we can choose to flight, go away, walk away from the problem. Brethren, we know in this world we live in, there are more than enough resources for stress. Work, family, finances, or other responsibilities can wear. These things can wear on us until we begin to suffer from the weight of the burden. I asked the question today, I'd like to title this sermonette today, Remove Stress and Add God. Remove stress, add God. When is, brethren, when is stress a warning signal? And the answer to that is when it is part of a natural reaction to challenge or danger, the body's response is called positive stress. There's positive stress and there's negative stress. However, when you feel out of control or under intense pressure, you may experience the physical, emotional, or relational symptoms brought on by negative stress. Now, what are some of the symptoms of stress? It pulled up a bunch. I've just got a few here. Let's go over the physical symptoms real quick. Sleep disturbances, back, shoulder, and neck pain. I've had a little back pain for about 3 weeks. Tension or migraine headaches, upset or acid stomach. I got this little purple pill sometimes that I have to take to shut down the acid in your stomach, I guess is what it's for. Weight gain or loss, eating disorders, hair loss. Well, I'm all right there. Muscle tension. Fatigue, tired, you know, that's a sign of stress if you're tired and wore out. High blood pressure, asthma, shortness of breath, chest pains, sweaty palms or hands. A little sweaty right now. Stress levels got me. Skin problems, and even the immune system, you know, our bodies are affected by stress. You know, more colds and more flu. Infections sometimes come on us because of our stress levels up. Now let's go over some of the emotional symptoms. Nervousness, anxiety, depression, moodiness, irritable, frustration, memory problems. I have a 92-and-a-half-year-old mother-in-law that can't remember hardly anything that went on that day. That has to be stressful. has to, you know, she has to go through, I'm sure, a tremendous amount of stress. Lack of concentration. You know, you're feeling out of control. You know, you just feel all of a sudden you're just out of control of the things that maybe are going on. Substance abuse. A lot of people dive into the alcohol to relieve stress. Oh, I need that bourbon and water this evening. Or whatever pill to take to help them with the stress that they're dealing with. Overreactions. Then there's the relational symptoms, a few of those. Increased arguments. How are with other people? You know, you go in with somebody and you start, you know, maybe arguing with them. Doesn't ever get you anywhere, but the stress level goes way, way up. An isolation from social activity sometimes can affect you in a stressful way. Not being able to maybe have a rapport with people or talk with people. You know, just having that type of relationship. Conflict with co-workers or employers. Frequent job changes. I've been very, very lucky there. Most of the jobs that I've had over the years, I've stayed with those jobs for a long time. But I know of some people that go from job to job to job, and that's very, very stressful. Road rage. We see road rage happening all around us all the time. And, of course, domestic or workplace violence. And the latest was in Owosso, I think, with three family members shot to death. There are so many things going on right now, brethren, in this world with that, you know, with the war in Iraq, with the numerous hurricanes. One is right now, I think, over almost in Florida. Adverse weather conditions. You know, we had a lot of rain here lately. Economic changes. We were talking about that earlier in the break room. Gasoline prices are so high. And it's enough for anyone to, I think, probably react to some sort of criminal behavior. You know, people are driving up right now, getting their gas and leaving without paying. My wife's company has an employee committee that, you know, they have this morale booster events, you know, to get the employees in a good mood. They have these about once a month, and she was telling me yesterday they sold baked potatoes and salad as a fundraiser. And I think they said that they would clear almost $150 after expenses. Except someone took about $60 out of the cash box during a rush of people. And the human resource director for her company came up to Marilyn later and said, hey, this is probably just a sign of the things to come. You know, even some of the people in the world today realize how tough and how difficult it is to live in the atmosphere that we're forced to live in daily. There are doctors who specialize in nervous disorders and prescribe drugs for stress and anxiety. But we can go, brethren, to our Bible. We can go to God's Word. Let's start in Proverbs in chapter 14. In Proverbs in chapter 14, in verse 30, it tells us there's a lot of these. You know, Proverbs are just full of stress relief scriptures. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So I ask today, brethren, how can we relieve stress? How do we relieve stress? I think we all know. I think we all know that the best source to tap into in dealing with stress is God. God can ease our cares. Only God can lead us to the right answers and decisions in facing trials in the stress of this world. You know, in spite of our best efforts, brethren, in spite of our best efforts, other circumstances and situations beyond our control, they will affect us. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worst, but they will affect us. And although we, as God's peoples, we should be able to control our own reactions, but we have little control of others that spill over and affect us. Happening to me right now during this past few weeks. I have a man that works for me, has been going through all kinds of problems, marital problems, you name it. And I'm telling you, it affects you. Now, I sit there across from him trying to, you know, you try to help somebody, you try to counsel with somebody a little bit, you try to do the best you can with the words, with the truth that we know and you know, the understanding that we have, but what I'm trying to say is it still spills over and affects us as God's people. But there are things that we can do to relieve stress. Of course, staying close to God. You know, going to your bedroom or going wherever and shutting the door and getting down on your knees and asking God for the relief that you know you have to have. You know, one is exercise. As I was preparing yesterday and looking over this sermonette, you know, I had the opportunity. Fridays, usually, I don't have a real, real active day. But it helped me to just go out and start jogging, and it helped me to clear the cobwebs. And it helps you to think clearly. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 4 and verse 8. God says, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come." So, see, we have to live through this physical life that we're in right now. It's mandatory for all of us to go through the physical life. All the problems that we have, but to look forward to what is to come is the big, that's the big one. That's what we need to all focus in on. Verse 10 says, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." But if you go up to verse 1 in this same chapter, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." In verse 2, "speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." You know, I've witnessed it firsthand. I'm sure some of you have. And I'm sure that, you know, some of the previous members that have fallen away are now into things like the occult. You know, having their fortunes told and getting tattooed and reading, tarot cards. It's amazing. You know, I've had a discussion with someone that's allowed this type of activity to come into their lives. It's pretty scary stuff. Very stressful. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Isaiah 8, verse 19. "They will say to you, 'Seek oracles at the pits used to conjure up underworld spirits from the magicians who chirp and mutter incantations.' Should people not seek oracles from their God by asking the dead about the destiny of the living? Then you must recall the Lord's instructions and the prophetic testimony of what would happen. Certainly they say such things because their minds are spiritually darkened. They will pass through the land destitute and starving. Their hunger will make them angry, and they will curse their king and their God as they look upward. When one looks out over the land, he sees distress and darkness, gloom and anxiety, darkness and people forced from the land." You know, brethren, in closing, the fact is, it's humans that are cut off from God. You know, humans cut off from God establish deferring, usually false values and ideals and hopes, and bring into play varying breaking points if their hopes or resources fail. That's very sad. And we all know, brethren, we're nearing the end of this age of human misrule. It's right around the corner, I'm sure. You know, Satan knows the end of his sway and deception is close at hand. You know, Satan knows that. And we're being tested greatly today. Great difficulties and trials are prophesied to try all humans that dwell on this earth. And God has chosen to allow this suffering to show mankind the horrendous end results of breaking his laws. But we all know, brethren, that the good news is that God reveals a way for the world ultimately to escape these afflictions and fears. And at the last moment, just before humanity would destroy itself from this earth, we have to know in our minds and our hearts that what we have been taught, what we've been given, the wonderful knowledge and the truth that only God can open our minds. But we have to believe and be tenacious right now in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Christ will return to restore God's government on this earth. He will, brethren, usher in a world peace. And it's not just from the wars and the conflicts between nations, but from the conflicts and wars within us, as we heard last week in the sermon, the spiritual war that goes on in our minds. God is going to relieve us of the stress that we face in that war. The stress of this life, brethren, will be lifted, I promise you. It will be lifted, and we will know true peace and tranquility the way that God really intended it to be. In closing, John in chapter 8, verse 32, you don't have to turn there. But it just simply says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We need to be thanking God daily. We need to be thanking God on our knees daily for what he has allowed us to understand and know and defeat stress with his help. Let's speed the day.